Hi, this is Matt Shaw, pastor at City Lift Church. If you're in the Fort Lauderdale area, we'd love for you to come visit us on a Sunday sometime or join us online, citylift.church. We hope today's message fills you with courage and helps you on your spiritual journey. We exist just to help people meet, know, and follow Jesus. Enjoy today's message. I'm excited today. I'm going to teach a message on the blessings of obedience. June is kind of my random month. It's kind of the month that I pick up all the things that I couldn't quite get to in the last 6 months. And so I've been doing some like kind of standalone random messages. But I feel like these are all messages that God has been wanting to try to get to our church. And today I want to preach and teach on the blessings of obedience, okay? Because God does not treat the disobedient and obedient the same way. He really doesn't. Just like me as a parent, I don't treat a disobedient child the same way I treat as an obedient child, okay? And so I think there's something here. We like good things. God likes good character, and he's working on us, and he's growing us, and he's building all of us. And so, but I'm excited to teach this, and so let's pray here in just a second, but I really hope you get to open up your head, your heart, pray that God anoints me. I flew back in from vacation just for today. I flew in last night, I'm preaching, and then I'm flying out right after this. We're in the middle of vacation, but I always like to try to come back a couple times in the summer, and so that's what you're getting today, okay? Let's pray really quick together. Heavenly Father, we love your word. God, we love you. Holy Spirit, would you come right now, and would you begin to talk to us? And as I begin to teach on the principles of the blessings of obedience, God, would you begin to talk to us personally? And Lord, here's the miracle I'm asking for today, that as I cover the general topic, would you talk to each one of us specifically of where we need to obey you? God, we know that it's not just in hearing the word that makes a difference, but it's hearing and then doing the word that makes a difference in our lives. And so, God, would you reveal today the power of your word and the power of your will, God, so that we might live a life that is not just flourishing, but pleases you. In Jesus' name, if you believe that with me, say amen and amen. All right, why don't you turn to two or three people really quick, give them a high five, smile, welcome them to church, and let's dive into this midsummer teaching on the blessings of obedience. Now, I actually want to start this morning in kind of a different way to prove my point. I'm going to start in Ezekiel. And Ezekiel is a prophet. He is preaching to the children of Israel at a time that God is getting ready to judge them. And for years, they were just refusing to follow God. And so finally, after lots of grace and lots of mercy and lots of tries throughout the ages here, God's finally like, okay, now I have to judge you, right? And so God judges them. So he's prophesying to them. If you look at the prophets throughout the ages, what's amazing to me is there is judgment. God is just in his judgment. He's calling them out. But there's always hope at the end. And I'm always amazed by that. With God, there is always hope. And he does give some hope there. But in this, if you look at Ezekiel 14, 14, there's a really interesting little note here. And that's what I want to read this morning. And so God is getting ready to judge the kingdom of Judah. The Babylonian Empire is coming in, and they're scattered throughout that empire. Then the Babylonians are conquered by the Persians, and then the Greeks, and then the Romans, and then you have the time of Christ. So they never get their land back until 1948. This is an amazing thing that God has done here. But in Ezekiel 14, God says through the prophet, he said, even if these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, they could only save themselves by their righteousness. In other words, they can't save the whole thing anymore. My judgment's coming, but these three men, you know, they could be saved. What I want you to see is God does not treat obedient, righteous kids the same way he treats the disobedient. And I want to prove that to you in a point where God is judging and he's getting ready to judge everything, but he's like, hey, you know what? These guys, they follow me, they're obedient, and I would not bring the hammer down on them, right? So there is a difference the way that God treats disobedience versus how he treats obedience. Maybe you've heard this statement, God is a just God. How many of you have heard that statement before? God is a just God. Doesn't mean everything that we experience in life is just or right or good, but God is a just God. And when God moves and when God does something, it is just and it's holy and it's right because that is who he is. It is inconceivable to think that a just God could do an unjust move, right? So I want you to see is God is a just God, okay? Because God is a just God, this is my first point, God blesses obedience and he judges sin. God blesses obedience and he judges sin. He does not treat those, right, who are following him versus those who are not the same way because he is just. If I rewarded a disobedient child the same way I would reward an obedient child, that's actually not just, right? Now, I love both my children the same. And I've said this statement before, and I think it's worth repeating right now. God loves his kids the same. Not all of his kids follow him the same way. So God loves all of his kids the same way. It is an unconditional, everlasting. You could just be the worst Christian on planet Earth. Honestly, you could be the most disobedient, most wild, most, you know, you could give God the most trouble. I think God loves you just as much as he loves me. I think that is a New Testament, biblical, foundational fact. That love of God is unconditional. And I've said it, I've got four kids. One of them could grow up to be a dictator of a small country, and I would still love him. I'm still their dad. I'm like, let's get some counseling. Let's get you some help. But my heart is forever attached to you in an unconditional way. I love you. But for me to be a fair father, I can't reward the child that listens to me and reward the child that is not listening the same way. Right? If you slap your sister, you got to get a timeout. Why? Because I am trying to be a just father. I can't give the cookie when you do an action like that. Okay? So obviously multiply this to the character of God. God blesses obedience and he judges sin. Let me try to define obedience a little bit. Obedience means hearing God's word and acting on it. Aligning one's will with God's will. And then basing decisions and actions on God's word. I like what Pastor Rick Warren says here. When you trust someone, you do what they say. If you don't do what someone tells you to do, it means you don't trust them. What a great statement that is. I got people coming to me and they say things and I'm like, I don't know. Like, you say some crazy stuff. I don't know if I want to follow that, right? But then I do have some people in my life too where they talk and I'm like, I'm going to listen because they have a track record and I trust. We're all like that, right? And I thought, what a great thing when it comes down to God. Part of following God and obeying God and doing God's will is because I trust God. Right? And I'm willing to bet if you've got an area of your life that you have not handed over to God and you're not following God in, part of the issue is trust. You don't trust what God is going to do with this area of your life. There might be a little fear. There might be some anxiety. There might be, God, I think my way really is better than your way, so I don't want to do it. So there is this issue of trust. Jesus said it like this in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commands. So trust, love, and obedience seems to be connected in the kingdom of God. That if I understand God loves me as I'm loving God, as I trust God, I'm following God, I'm learning. You know, when we're new believers, I think this is really hard to do. It's really hard to learn, God, your will, not my will, right? Like, because we all have a lot of will, don't we? So I want it to be a certain way. I want a certain outcome. This is what I desire. I'm learning not my will, but your will be done. I'm learning to trust what you see in your great outcome, not just trust my own mind and emotions. I think some of the most wild advice right now is, oh, just do whatever, you know, you feel like doing. Do whatever you feel like doing. That is terrifying. Your life would not go anywhere if we all just did whatever we felt like doing all the time. Yeah. Right? Follow your heart. The Bible says the heart is wicked above everything. Who can understand it? I do think there is something here where it's like, God, like, I can't see everything you see, but as I get to know you, I learn to trust you, and I'm going to follow your voice because I know you love me, and I know you have my best at your heart. Amen. And so I'm going to learn to trust that and follow and obey that. And that connection of love and trust and obedience, I think, really does kind of go together. And God's will does not always make sense. I think that's fair to say. God's will does not always make sense in a human perspective. I think tithing, generosity, giving does not make human sense. It doesn't. It's something I do because I love God and I trust God. Praying for people that persecute me does not make human sense. Blessing those who tweeted something bad about me does not make sense. You know, walking away from an argument and being like, God, I hope they get to know you and I hope your love fills them and I hope you bless them. That does not make sense after a bad moment with another human being, does it? Getting cut off in traffic, then praying for their blessing. That's hard to do here in South Florida. Praying for people who hate us. Praying for leaders, whether we voted for them or not. None of these things make human sense, but the Bible calls us to do this. Turning the other cheek. That's not fun. Right? Pursuing a journey of peace and de-escalation of human conflict. These are not necessarily natural human things for us. Right? So I think a lot of the Christian life doesn't make natural sense. But it is how God's will gets accomplished on planet Earth. Christianity conquered the entire Roman Empire without a single sword being lifted. They just lovingly, patiently, slowly showed there was a different way. And I think right now what we need to do as believers is lovingly, patiently, with a ton of love, show the world there's a different way. There's a different way to do humanity, society, culture, love, service, selflessness, grace, mercy. Like, we are a full-blown alternative to culture. We don't make sense. I think Christianity's always been a misunderstood minority in human history. And we certainly are now again, for sure. So, you know, our pursuit is very different than what makes human sense. And that's okay. Worshiping a God I can't see makes no sense. Praying to a God I don't see makes no sense. Have you experienced God? Oh, yeah, I'm fully convinced, for sure. But there's an element of faith to it. There's an element of our faith that doesn't quite add up here. Doesn't mean it's illogical or crazy, but there are some steps of faith that doesn't always make sense. When God asked my wife and I to plant a church, it did not make sense. And God is going to ask you to do some things in life that don't make sense. And I want you to hear me say that, because you need to know that. I just went through a ton of church hurt. We just had our second child. My son Zealand was a newborn baby. I had no money. We sold our cars. I got rid of health insurance. I got our bills down to like $400 a month. Moved in with my parents. I used to be like, hey, you know, get out, get on your own. It's good for you. Now I'm like, stay with your parents, actually, if you can, because this is crazy. This is crazy out here. So moved in with my parents. I mean, bought them completely out to plant the church. You know, at that time, God told me to start giving to our missionary in India. And I started giving. I like pretty much bought them out the bank account and gave them a big sizable gift. And then started literally with four people. Michelle was one of those four people. And that's how we started. We started absolutely from like below bottom, right? And it didn't make sense. I was hurt. I was angry. I was broke. Nothing was going the way that it should go to plant a great, vibrant, healthy church. And I prayed about it. I'll never forget this moment. I'm praying and praying. And I was like, God, I really want to be done with ministry. I'd been in ministry for 20 years, about roughly at that time. And I was like, I don't want to be in ministry anymore. I think I just want to, you know, work with my dad. He's in business and finance. And, you know, I was like, let me deal with numbers instead of people. And the Lord spoke to me so clearly. He said, son, I am asking you to plant this church. And you cannot do it, but that's going to be disobedience for you. Right? Now, maybe God didn't call you to plant a church. See how we get judged a little differently sometimes in life. Some things we're all supposed to do, like love your neighbor. You can't get out of that. You can't be like, well, I hated my neighbor. I'm good. God didn't tell me that. No, God told you that in his word. You got to love your neighbor. But then there are some specific things that we have callings and purposes and plans of God and things that God would tell you to do or not do. So I knew at that moment, I'm like, man, I can disobey God and live the rest of my life in disobedience. Or I can submit to God's will for my life, even though I don't want to, and it doesn't make sense to my mind. In the last several years, I've had the most life-giving church experience I've ever had in my entire life with you guys. And we are a healing church. We really are a healing church. God will eventually square away in our lives. He doesn't always square away next week. He'll call you to do something. There's a season of it not making sense. It doesn't always make sense in 2 weeks. Sometimes obeying God is months, years before God squares away. I got this goofy little clip from Indiana Jones I want to show you. Any Indiana Jones fans out there? Okay, all right, so I'm an 80s, 90s kid. I love Indiana Jones, classic. But go ahead and play it. I want to show this clip from Indiana Jones, and I'll talk about it. So this is my second point. God will often ask us to step before we see the way. So he will often ask us to obey him and invite us to follow him without showing us the end result. And he's sneaky like that. And he does that with like most of his kids. Maybe you're one of the kids he really likes and he's like, all right, I'll show you everything. But most of us, I would say 99% of us do this thing called walking by faith, where God says, take a step of faith, follow me, do what I ask you to do, right? And then I'll worry about the results. And then later you can see the path. But right now I want you to step out onto what seems like, you know, this wild, unseen, unknown journey. And again, he doesn't always show up or show the path right away. There are seasons of my life in following Christ over 20 years that I've had to do by faith. And I have prayed and prayed urgently that God would show, and he chose not to. And I had to do it by faith, trusting that he loved me, trusting that he had a way, trusting that there was a path, and there was a result, but I had to do it by faith. Anybody else been there? Come on, look around. If you've been a follower of Christ for a while, I want you to see your brothers and sisters. You're not the only one. God seems to just, he's growing our faith. It's just not fun for us, right? And so he'll often do that. I have learned to live that obedience is my job, outcome is God's job. Obedience is my job, outcome is God's job. Obeying is something that I do because God is good, he's holy, and he's just, and he asked me to do it, so I obey. What he chooses to do with my obedience is up to him, right? So obedience is my job, outcome is God's job. Number three, God does bless obedience. I think in a reaction to perhaps some of the prosperity preaching in the last 20, 30 years, we maybe are reacting maybe a little bit too much on the other side, and we're forgetting that God does actually bless obedience. I think he is for your flourishing. I think I want my children to do well. I think God wants you to do well. I think God does want your character to grow. I think life is more than just me getting the next car and a bigger house, for sure. I think our lives are deeply missional. I think the hope ultimately is heaven. None of us can afford a week in heaven, let alone an eternity in heaven. Come on, imagine the nicest hotel in Miami. I bet heaven's nicer. You and I can't afford a week there, right? Most of us, let alone an eternity. Jesus has paid it all. If that doesn't get you a little excited, I don't know what will. He's covered you. He's paid for it all. Wealth probably beyond measure. I'm talking in heaven right now. And that's our great goal, isn't it? I mean, that's the great hope, to be with him. Not just to be in an awesome place called heaven, but to be with him. You know, when you marry a man and you got a sweet house, you get to live in the sweet house because you married the man. But you didn't marry the house, you married the man. Right? We're in love with Jesus, not his place. You might start out like, well, I don't want to go to hell. I better accept this man, Jesus. So you can start there. Like, some of you literally got the hell scared out of you. You went to one of those hardcore fire brimstone preachers, and you're like, okay, I don't want to go there. I'm terrified. Okay, you could start there, but if you follow Jesus and you know the Holy Spirit and you read the Word of God, you start falling in love with Jesus. Let me teach this one. And so we're there for him. But let's not forget, God does bless obedience. This is cool. D.L. Moody, in his book, Prevailing Prayer, tells a story of a school teacher, Everett Storms, okay, in Ontario, Canada. And he read the Bible through 26 times. On his 27th time reading the Bible, he took a year and a half, and he counted all the promises of God. He came up with 7,487 specific promises God made to human beings, okay? God blesses obedience. And there are so many scriptures, I cannot mention them all. Here's a few. Proverbs 16:20, God blesses those who obey him. So if you don't believe me saying God blesses obedience, there you have it. God blesses those who obey him. Deuteronomy 5, follow the directions of the Lord your God has given you. Life will go well for you. Psalm 7, he saves those who obey him. The Lord watches over those who obey him, Psalm 33. The Lord takes care of those who obey him, Psalm 37. God answers our prayers because we obey God's commands, 1 John 3. Always obey the Lord, you'll be happy, Proverbs 28. Keep God's laws and you will live longer, Proverbs 19. I love that. God's like, don't be reckless with your life. Those who obey him have all they need, Psalm 34. If I didn't get up here and tell you God hasn't blessed my life, I'd be lying. God has blessed my life. I have peace I don't deserve. I have joy I don't deserve. I have a family I don't deserve. I have a ministry I don't deserve. I cannot get up here and not say God hasn't blessed my life because of following and obeying him. Has it always been easy? No. Does it always make sense? No. But God blesses when you follow him. Anybody in here, your life has been blessed by God. Come on, look at it. It's not just me. God blesses obedience. He is good. He fills us with hope and joy and strength, and he makes a way where there seems to be no way. That's probably one of my favorite things about God. Every time I get up against a wall that I'm like, there's just no way to get around this, God just opens the door, you know? And it's like, I'm just like, okay, I'll keep going. I'll keep marching. Like, you're just good. You're faithful. But he does. He blesses obedience. Number four, God is kind of like the beach. Here's what I mean by that. Two people can go to the beach, and one can lay on the sand all day long, and the other can jump in the water. And you could interview both people at the end of the day being at the beach. And one can say it's hard, it's dry, it's scratchy. And the other can say it's cool, it's refreshing, and it's a wild ride. God does have a justice and judgment side, but God also has a gracious and merciful and blessing side. And two people can walk out of church and be like, well, that was dead and dry and boring. And somebody else can walk out and be like, I just had my whole life transformed. That's always amazing to me. So, yeah, God is a just God, but he's also a merciful God. He's a loving God. He's a good God. And when you get to know him and you begin to fall in love with him and you follow him, right? I think that's ultimately what God's looking for, is that you will follow him, come, you know, hell or high water. You're like, I'm there. I'm with you. I'm just going to follow you because I love you. That's where God wants us, right? So my hope for some of you that are like, hey, like I've learned a little bit about God, but I don't know if I want to hand my life over to him. I don't know if I really want to read this thing or really follow him or, you know, and this is the miracle I'm praying today, that the Holy Spirit would take the general and then now make it specific for you, that God would talk to you where you need help following God and that the Holy Spirit would make it personal now for you. What do you need to do in your life to follow God, right? But here's the cool thing is when you and I come to God and say, God, I've not been doing it your way, but today I want to begin to do it your way. Right? That is the thing the Bible talks about, repentance. It's this turn. And God allows for us to turn and get in his will and get in his goodness and get in his blessing. And Isaiah 42 says, this is God talking. He goes, I'm the one who blots out your transgressions or sins for my own sake, and I remember your sins no more. Ezekiel 18, I'm going to kind of close where I started. I go full circle here with Ezekiel. But this is God saying, he goes, if a wicked person turns from their sins and keeps my decrees and does what's just and right, that person is going to live. They will not die. None of the offenses they committed will be remembered against them because of the righteous things they've done. They will live. He goes, do I take any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord? No. Rather, am I not pleased when they turn from their ways and live? God is giving us the opportunity to turn and to get in line with him and really, top to bottom, live. He is the God of life. And I'll tell you this, when you surrender to him and do it his way, one of the first things that'll enter in your life is life. He breathes life in us. And so my prayer right now for you as we pray in the next few minutes, the Holy Spirit would make it personal. What do you need to do to surrender and give to God? Where do you need to follow God? Where do you might need to say in your heart, Lord, forgive me for doing it this way. I'm going to start doing it your way because that's the will of God for you right now. That you would turn and you would follow him so he could really do what he wants to do in your life. Amen. Would you close your eyes for a moment, bow your heads? Well, Heavenly Father, this is the great miracle I ask for this morning, that you would now talk to your people, Holy Spirit, that you would bring up in them right now the things that they need to surrender, let go of, maybe forgive somebody, maybe let go of some worry, whatever it is, God, and that they would begin to follow you now. God, maybe an area of their life that they have yet to surrender to you, God, would they make a decision to do that today, to let go and to trust you, to not always feel like they have to meet their needs their way, but to trust you that you're going to meet their needs your way. And God, that we would be a people that follow you in Jesus' name. This morning, with all eyes closed for a moment, if you want that, if that's kind of your heart's cry, and you're like, hey, Pastor, I'm going to lay some things down, and I want to follow God in a new way and do it his way, would you just lift your hand real quick? It's kind of just a sign of surrender. It's kind of like our altar call here, but thank you. I love seeing all of this. This is just me saying, I'm going to lay it down, and I'm going to follow God. I'm going to make a choice to obey God, follow God, lay that sin down, turn to him right now. God is merciful. He's gracious. He says that he forgives us all of our sins, throws them in a sea of forgetfulness. He's not bringing it up against us. He is a good, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, and he wants to bring us into the side of life where he can love us and bless us and get us into his will. So, Father, I thank you. See all these hands today. Lord, I thank you that you are just moving with your spirit right now, helping us to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thanks again for checking out our podcast. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe, share with a few friends. Thanks for helping us make Jesus famous right here in South Florida. Again, if you're in the Fort Lauderdale area, we'd love to see you sometime. Or as always, visit us online, citylift.church. Have an amazing week.